sacred, holy, and blasphemy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Those are heavy terms. Sacred, something that represents or speaks toward our divinity or our godliness. Holy, something which is not material, not human, it is beyond the human, it is just wonderful. And blasphemy is to take a disregard for these sacred, holy things. And we are about the greatest blasphemers that the world has ever known. And our name is Sylvia, Anita, Ellen, Ingeborg, John, and Herb. Mm-hmm. Now, what have we done that is so blasphemous? Well, number one, we have taken the words of Jesus and we have decided that they spell out a good story and we're going to live by them. We have decided we're going to take the teachings of Jesus the Christ and let them be a guideline for our thinking. Now, that is blasphemous because the Jews didn't like Jesus. Not because Jesus taught about a living presence, God within everyone, they knew that. Not because Jesus taught that we should be perfect, even as is the divine within us. They were angry at Jesus, not because he was a rabbi, but because he was messing up their work schedule. He was telling everyone that they should be perfect. He was telling everyone that they were God and that they did not need to tithe. They did not need to be their brother's keeper. They did not need to go to the synagogue or go to church, that the church, the divinity, was within them. Now that messed up the whole program of the rabbis and all other religions. So, when Buddha came along and he started teaching some beautiful things, the teachings of Hinduism decided, well, if people like Buddha, let's just incorporate Buddha into Hinduism. And so Buddha was just incorporated into the Brahmin philosophy and just accepted. And so Buddha never was an outcast. Buddha never was a tough signal for them. He was just incorporated into their philosophy, and they have supported Buddhism throughout all these years. The Hebrews weren't that smart. They tried to get rid of Jesus. They tried to oust him. They tried to not make a martyr of him. That was the last thing they wanted to do. They wanted to make a monkey out of him, hang him up on the cross in the most undesirable way. A naked man hanging up on the cross with his hands nailed there. He didn't have any cloth on. I mean, there's nothing. They wanted to shame him. That was the way they did it in those days. They wanted to shame him. And in shaming him, they wanted to make it so that people would not respect him any longer. People would not like him. And, of course, they made a big mess there. Because people thought that if he didn't like him, then that they wouldn't pay attention to him. But the big point was that they drew attention to him. And they made a martyr out of him. And they made a saint out of him in their own religion. And, of course, they had to destroy that. Well, the teachings of Jesus were so simple. The teachings of Jesus were sort of hidden away in the entire Hebrew teachings, but not so that you could notice it too well. And so anyone who was teaching the teachings of Jesus was thought to be sacrilegious, was thought to be blaspheming the divine God. Because, you see, God judges. God determines whether people are good or bad. God looks at all men and says, you're right or you're wrong. And that's not what New Testament, what Jesus was teaching. Jesus taught that God was a God of what? L-O-V-E, yeah. God was a God of love. Jesus taught that God forgave 70 times 70 times. Jesus said he has not come to destroy the law and the prophets, the wonderful knowledge that's given out of the ancient Hebrew teachings, but he has come to give a new law. And that is, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your being, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, he wasn't teaching that you should love your neighbor. He was teaching that your neighbor is your creation, and you should love your creation as you love yourself. Because if you love your creation as you love yourself, your creation is going to be pretty good. Your neighbor is going to be pretty good, if you're pretty good. And if you're not pretty good, and your neighbor is just like you, you can't knock it. See? You can't be upset with something that is a perfect reflection of you. And Ellen found that true just the other day in her telephone conversation, that her neighbor said, but you're so advanced, and you're so wonderful, and you're... And Ellen said, and so are you. And you see, they don't want to realize that. The traditionalists, the people of a traditional faith, don't want to realize that. Because if they realize it, they have one big responsibility that they never had before. And that is responsibility to be what they believe God is. Now, standard religions are teaching constantly, I forget the term, but I may not be something, but I'm a Christian, you know. I may not be saved, but I'm a Christian. And I'm forgiven. And why should we go on doing things for which we should be forgiven? Why don't we instead go on doing things that are noble and good in our estimation? Well, one thing that's not noble and good is when we speak about our divine self in limiting terms. That's not being holy. That's being sacrilegious. When you say, I am not good, you are saying, God is not good. And that is blasphemy. Would you ever say, God is not good, per se, as a phrase? No, you wouldn't dare say that. Because that's not your belief. Not because God's going to do something to you bad for saying such nonsense, but because that's not your belief. Would you say that your mother wasn't your mother? You could. You could say that your son is not your son. You could. But that wouldn't change anything. Your mother is always your mother, and your son is always your son. People write wills and they explicitly leave their adopted son out of the will, because their adopted son hasn't cared anything about them since he turned 18. He went off into his world and was completely abandoned the parents, and they knew nothing of where he was. And so they felt unhappy, and so they disinherited him. Now, why they disinherited him, I don't know. Maybe he was really a very good person. Maybe he's just doing his thing. You never disinherit anything. You can't. If I say I disinherit you as my friend, who am I disinheriting? Me. I'm taking me away from our wonderful friendship. I am taking me away from our wonderful relationship, and that's silly. Now, sacredness and holiness are something that is still totally wrong. Sacredness and holiness are something that speak into an area that we don't deal with. We don't worship anything or anybody. Everything is God. Everything is good. Everything is beautiful. Everything is fantastic. So therefore, what can we ever say is not fantastic and is not good? What can we ever say is not something that we want to honor and uphold? What can we say? Can you say evil is not good? Well, some people like to say that. Can you say that being unkind is not good? Some people like to say there's nothing that's not good. We may not choose to experience it in our life, but how do we experience anything in our life? We experience anything in our life by putting the cause in motion to experience it. Pure and simple, just like that. Now, what do you want to experience? Do you want to experience naughty things or nice things? You know, who's to say what's naughty or nice? But what do you want? Naughty things or nice things? So obviously you'd say, I wouldn't do that. Obviously you say that you want to only experience nice things. And so she puts the dog down so the dog again can become busy and make noise and have to be picked up again. But of course, now that you picked him up so that he didn't do that, our talk can go on in peace. Always think before you act. And you do think, but you don't always listen to your first thought. Now, your first thought is that you just hold on to the puppy during the lecture so that the puppy is quiet so the lecture can go on. And if you don't hold on to him, then the lecture is disturbed by him with his talking and discussing what we're talking about. And we don't really understand him too well. So I'll have to take him in private conference and discuss these things, which I'll do. Okay, Snuggles, is that okay with you? Okay, thank you. So let's remember that we cannot blaspheme anything. Can God blaspheme anything? Please, please, please?
No.
No! Why can God not blaspheme anything? Because God is everything. Yeah. God is everything. He cannot blaspheme himself. Would he ever say that he was bad?
No.
Would he ever say he's limited or anything? No. So therefore, when we get down to the truth that we are God and all of God, we cannot blaspheme ourselves. We cannot say war is good or war is bad. We cannot say that peace is good or peace is bad. We merely determine what it is that we want to experience. Do you want to experience peace? Do you want to experience happiness, harmony, abundance, joy, truth? Do you want to experience everything that's wonderful? Then put that cause in motion. If you want to experience the other, put that cause. Either way, it's okay. And that's something I want to drive home as much as I can. Either way, it's okay. Because there is nothing. God don't make no junk. And God makes everything. And you are God. And you make everything. And you don't make no junk. So therefore, as Ellen continually says, Herb, you must have had a reason for doing this. I didn't have any reason for doing it. I did it because it was fun. I did it because I'm just sort of charmed to see what the outcome is, to see how you're going to handle that. And you don't have to handle it the way I create you handling it. You can handle it differently as I give you more latitude, you know, give you more rope to hang yourself, you know. But really, what is it that you're doing? You cannot blaspheme, you cannot be unsacred, unholy with anything, because it's you. It's just totally you. Now, are you willing to take responsibility for being totally you? Are you willing to take responsibility for every word you speak and every thought you think? You can. If you're willing to do that, then what happens? Then you are accomplishing what you came here for. Go ahead.
I'm a master, illumined.
Yeah, that too.
But I remember.
You're accomplishing what you came here for, to be yourself and have fun, to remember who you are.
To live my divinity masterfully.
Yeah, but I would recommend you drop that for a minute.
Yeah.
You go beyond that, and you be the all.
All right.
You go beyond that, and you be the all. See, master is but a step along the way. Maybe a wonderful step. But when you are the all, then there's nothing to be master of. We have a minute here. Let's look at omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. God is omniscient. What's that mean?
No.
All-knowing. Well, what is there to know? God is all. He doesn't know it or not know it. He is it. It is. God is omniscient.
That's it.
How interesting, huh? What is omnipotent?
All powerful.
What is omniscient?
All-knowing wisdom.
All-knowingness. And what is omnipresent?
Everywhere present.
It's limited.
Well, it's just giving it an attribute to understand.
Sure, but I'm saying There's nothing to know.
No.
God is all.
No.
And there's nothing over which to have power.
No, it's all power.
Because it's all power, and it's all energy, and it all is. And whatever it is, and it is all of that. And of course, at first I take away, so to speak, Jesus, and then I take away God, and then I take away the essence of God that we know, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresent. What's there to be present in? There is only the now. What's so big deal about being omnipresent of in the now? You know? Well, goody goody for you, God, you know. You're omnipresent. And there is only the now to be omnipresent in, and I'm here, and you're here, and we must be the same thing. You see, when you look at these things in just the sacrilegious way, the blasphemic way, you come down to some very beautiful points. And the point is that taking responsibility for being who you are is a lot of fun. Which subject we shall continue at another time. What is true love? True love. True love.